Hey, football fans, it's Andrew Filippone, host of the First and Pod podcast. Join me and my co-host, three-time All-Pro Patrick Peterson, as we break down every game every week. New episodes drop on Monday and Friday mornings. Be sure to subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Chris Ranji, Amy Mark scores with you. And as you heard us talking about earlier, the audit, the Missouri audit of Kim Gardner's office has been released, and it is not great. Among other things, former circuit attorney Kim Gardner spent more than $50,000 without permission. She allowed the rate of cases that were processed in her office to plummet. She spent at least on 40 different incidents and 35 days of taking nursing courses while she should have been working. And to give us more information of what this audit revealed, in addition to those things, is Missouri State Auditor Scott Fitzpatrick. Scott, thank you for joining us today as the information about this audit has now come out.
Glad to be here. Thank you for having me on.
As you mentioned in a press release, you said, quote, taxpayers should be outraged by how this office was run into the ground by Gardner. And I mentioned some of the examples. Can you lay out what you believe to be some of the most egregious examples that you found in the audit?
Yeah, and you're right. I mean, taxpayers, we did say that taxpayers should be outraged, but really victims of crime should be outraged, too. There's so many people, as the audit will details. That did not get justice and were deserving of it. So there were a lot of things going on in the circuit attorney's office, and we really looked at the office, tried to figure out how did this happen, what precipitated this total implosion of the office, and really what it came down to was just a total failure of leadership by Kim Gardner, which we all pretty much knew. But the audit details with numbers and data how bad it actually was there. And you talked about her focusing on her nursing degree. One thing that prior to, I believe, our report coming out that was not public is that the day that Judge Noble called the circuit attorney's office and Kim Gardner called her the captain of a rudderless ship of chaos because she failed to show up for court and was held in contempt of court for doing so, she was actually at her nursing class mm-hmm. that day. So she was in class on the day where the judge was calling her the captain of a rudderless ship of chaos and when she was being held in indirect contempt of court. So, but really what happened was the office just totally fell apart under her watch. They started with 141 employees when Kim Gardner took office. By the time that she resigned, there were only 89 people there. There was a 37% decline in staff. And when you look at the attorneys, it was a 55% decline. She was down to only 24 attorneys in the circuit attorney's office by the time she resigned. The number of cases that were filed, when you compare the number of cases on average filed by her predecessor, was over 4,600. Hers was just over 2,500 per year. So that's a decrease of almost 50%. It's like 46% decrease in the number of cases filed. There were 6,700 referred cases sitting in the email inboxes at the circuit attorney's office that had not even been looked at by anybody in the office, had not been entered into their case management system in the office. And without it being entered into the case management system, nobody has looked at it. Nobody is making in a position to make a charging decision. 6,700 crimes that were referred for prosecution had been totally ignored by the time she left office in 2023.
You know, sir,
that's just a handful of things that stick out.
Certainly that stuff, you know, the lack of prosecution of crimes, which is what the main job of the office is. That's the number one thing. But then you read the story and you see things like thousands of dollars spent on chili cook-offs and pizza for morale and that sort of thing. And I know it's not unusual for offices to have pizza parties or to, you know, do a bar thing or something for morale. How unusual was it, the amount of money spent on stuff like that in this particular case?
Well, the bar is higher for governmental entities when it comes to office parties and things of that nature. When we have any type of function, there's either a training aspect to it. There's some benefit to the taxpayers of that meeting being held. And if it's not, then generally, you know, the principal, in the case of elected officials, a lot of time the principal will pay for the cost of that. So for her to have just thrown office parties and hired DJs and spent $5,000 at a bar and grill, those sorts of things, is not something that is generally allowable of government entities. They spent over $58,000, and it wasn't just that the expenditures were problematic. I mean, there are cases in which, as you noted, it is okay to buy meals for staff if it's part of a broader function that has an agenda and there's a reason that they're having this get-together. The problem was they took that money, that $58,000, and spent it from the office's contingency account. And that account is restricted by law as only being allowed to be used for bringing in witnesses from out of state in connection with a trial and prosecution of defendants. And that's the big issue with that $58,000. They were spending all this money on things that were not appropriate expenses to begin with, but they were also doing it out of a fund that was specifically restricted for prosecution activity, not for throwing parties.
Yeah, also part of this story is just how difficult it was to get a hold of Kim Gardner. How long was your office trying to track her down? Because did you have to hire a private investigator to help find her?
We did hire a private investigator after in May. I had made a public call for assistance in locating her because we had hired a process server to serve her a subpoena, and they had attempted like 14 times to serve the subpoena on her and had not been able to locate her. And we ended up finding her because when we subpoenaed St. Louis University for her nursing school records, and we did that to look at how much time she was spending at nursing school when she was supposed to be at work, St. Louis University notified her of that subpoena, and she had an attorney reach out on her behalf to object to the subpoena. And so when we got in contact with her attorney through that, we were able to serve the subpoena on her attorney to get her to appear personally. So that was how we ended up finding her. But it was several months, obviously, of that. That was in, I want to say, June. Mm-hmm. And that, you know, we didn't have the press conference asking for help finding her until we'd been looking for her for several months already. So there was a long time where we were trying to find Kim Gardner so that we could talk to her about her management of the office. And we ultimately got there, but it took a long time to find her.
I want to move to the county for a moment because the incoming prosecutor has said that she, in the county we're talking about, says that she supports an audit into the activities of that office. What can you tell us about that?
Yeah, that's very new. I think I saw that about 2 hours ago. That was forwarded to us that she had said she would support an audit of the county prosecutor's office. We have new statutory authority that if there is a credible, you know, whistleblower complaint that we receive, we have to investigate that. And if it's determined to be a credible complaint, then we can proceed with an audit. Outside of that, we would have to be invited in by the county council through a resolution, or we would have to get petitioned to conduct an audit by the voters or the citizens of St. Louis County. So we don't have the authority to begin an audit without one of those three things happening. And to date, I'm not aware of a whistleblower complaint having been received. So we'll need to kind of see how that process proceeds with the county council. And if they do adopt a resolution and that we receive, and maybe they did that and we just haven't gotten it yet. But we're pretty early on in hearing about that one.
Just to clarify, is there a difference? Do you have different authority when it comes to the city versus the county, or is it the same?
So it's the same in the cases of the city and the county. So the city audit began as a request from the Board of Aldermen from 2018. So this audit request dates back to, you know, almost 7 years ago, 6.5 years ago, when it was received by the office. And it was a citywide audit that was mostly done under Nicole Galloway. But when I took office at the beginning of 2023, there was still the recorder of deeds and the circuit attorney's offices that needed to be completed. And that was because circuit attorney's office was not being cooperative. And so that was through an aldermanic request, which would be the same as like the county council. We can only go into a county if they don't have their own auditor, unless there's a request or unless we receive a whistleblower complaint that we investigate and determine to be credible, or if there's a citizen's petition.
Again, we are talking with Scott Fitzpatrick, Missouri State Auditor. And I did want to ask you, you know, now that this audit has been released, the audit of Kim Gardner's office, what does that mean? What happens next since you guys have quantified the way she handled the office and her mishandling of funds and so forth?
Well, the next thing that happens after this is really the U.S. Attorney's Office has already, you know, had her enter a diversion agreement for the $5,000 that she misappropriated by having her reimbursed for legal expenses from the county or from the city. In her office, you know, if the report, we're not prosecutors. We issue the facts in the report, and then if prosecutors decide to do anything with that information, they have the ability to do that, or they can take our report and conduct further investigations. That's really a decision for them. But I think the big takeaway for me from the report, besides the disaster that Kim Gardner was, is that it should be providing a little bit of hope to the people of the city. And really the people of Missouri, because the city is a big part of the state of Missouri, and that Gabe Gore has really begun to turn things around very quickly, in my opinion. In the report details the performance of the prior circuit attorney before Kim Gardner, the performance of Kim Gardner, and then the performance of Gabe Gore in his first year in office. And what we've seen is that he's really done a good job at reversing a lot of these trends in terms of the number of prosecutor cases that are rejected. You know, Kim Gardner was rejecting about 60% of the cases she was receiving, and over 50% of felonies. Those numbers were much lower before her, and they're much lower now that Gabe Gore is in office. The staffing situation has been improving significantly under Gabe Gore. So I think the story to take away from that is that, you know, there are a lot of problems in St. Louis. We're in the school district right now. Obviously, there's the SLDC issues going on. There's the building division issues that everybody's aware of. But one thing that's a positive bit of information, I think, is that the circuit attorney's office is turned back in the right direction. And I think that's really important for the city.
Scott Fitzpatrick, Missouri State Auditor, we appreciate your time as always. Thank you for visiting with us today.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me. See you guys.
So there you go. I mean, it's what we talked about earlier, that at least the good news from this is that Gabe Gore appears to be doing well and pointing that office in the right direction. Because I think in St. Louis, the best we can do is take progress, every little bit of it that we can get, because ultimately it accumulates.
And as Scott Fitzpatrick said, if it's good for St. Louis, it's good for the entire state of Missouri. Yeah. Because St. Louis, I mean, it is. It's the center. It's the economic engine. It should be driving the state. And when St. Louis struggles, eventually we're going to see the ramifications in St. Louis County, in St. Charles County. We've already seen it. We've already seen the ramifications, but it really does affect the whole state. So good to hear, too, that you have Gabe Gore in the circuit attorney's office, and the state auditor is, you know, really encouraged by the work that he's been able to do, that he's impressed with how quickly he's been able to turn that office around.
Forgot to ask Fitzpatrick if I should go out with that lady's sister
you.
Or not.
Listen.
I thought about it. I bet he would have had an opinion.
He might have had an opinion.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's like you're auditing for a... You're auditing the situation.
Maybe I should ask if you would audit them both.
They're in Illinois, though.
Ah, damn it. Great point.
Not his jurisdiction.
Amy Marks-Kors, Chris Ranji, KMOX.